Starship Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. It's on for another day of broadcast insolence.
Today marks an important day in city history, Ro. 14 years ago this day, the Dave Matthews Tour bus dumped 800 pounds of human waste onto people aboard an architectural tour.
Never forget.
Literally drenching them in human waste. Let's not forget. Ugh.
Horrible.
Oh, Dave Matthews poop.
And everyone's looking up at the building.
What was the story with that? Why did they even decide to do that? Was it the bus driver going rogue there?
It was in the river, right?
Well, the guy dumped. They have it. Okay.
He was crossing the Kinzie Street Bridge.
Yeah, right.
They thought it was a good place to dump.
And
hey,
why not?
And
what?
The Kinzie Street Bridge is grated in the center where the traffic goes over.
Yeah.
Right?
Falls right through.
So just go right through it. It's just, it's nothing but a big fence, essentially, is what it looks. And the guy opened up the little deal, electronically opened up the poop hatch. And then these guys who drive these kinds of vehicles,
especially
they do this
for
all
rock
the time.
Bands,
yeah,
I would think sort of.
They're like, oh, I'm over a body of water. What could possibly go wrong? And it's, if he's coming from Detroit and he crossed the river, and they thought, well, there's not going to be any jerk under here looking up at beautiful architecture. But here in Chicago, there is.
There is.
Yeah.
And they were drenched in a downpour of all over themselves. I mean, oh.
Pee-pee caca.
Yuck.
I maybe would have jumped in the river that one time.
I'm not sure it's better at that. But now the river's great, so.
Right. Because they would just, you're driving through, right? You got your car, and then you open up the hatch.
And then... No. But don't you look first? See if there's a boat underneath you?
No.
Those boats are big.
I know, but he's not thinking like that. He's also thinking maybe they'll just, maybe there isn't a grate under here. Maybe it's just going to, it'll flow.
It just seems like there's a better place to do it than the middle of a city.
Well, they're not supposed to do it there.
It's not supposed to do it, period.
No. It's like a good spot. No one's looking.
Exactly. Because now remember, 14 years ago, at that bridge at Kinzie, there wasn't a whole lot going on there, right? You had East Bank Club, and then there's a gated community on the right, and there was a big tire store on the left. It's basically the same thing now. And Comcast Sports was across the street the other way.
That's right.
If you're ever going to, do it in front of somebody else. You're doing it in front of sports guys, right? They're used to that. I don't know how many sports guys that I can name. It's in the dozens that have gone in their own coffee cups while covering sports.
Oh, boy. But then did they dump it onto someone else?
Kevin, come on. Have you done it?
Are you one of them, Kevin?
No.
When you have to go, you have to go. There's no negotiation.
You're on the road a lot, You got to get to these press conferences.
Yeah, you got things.
Can't move the cable kickoff for you.
Right. You gotta do what you gotta do. So every once in a while you're standing out there, especially at practice or something, you stand out there.
Oh. You can always find some place, can't you?
Well, sometimes a tree is hard to find, at a football practice. So you get your coffee cup.
Well, that bus driver was ordered to pay $10,000 fine and do 150 hours of community service. It doesn't seem like enough, really. But that's what happened.
Just an innocent mistake,
150 hours of community service?
Yeah.
That's a lot. That's almost a month of community service, 8 hours a day. That's a lot?
What if you got the stuff dumped on your head while you're on the air? Would you think that's a lot?
How many people were affected by it?
Well, nobody was seriously injured. And now they all tell the story with great pride.
No.
They put the P in pride.
Every time Dave Matthews songs come on, I got a story for you.
There are people out there telling the story where it didn't actually, they weren't even there. Oh, man, there was this one time. They tell like that scene from Jaws.
I was on the tour boat, the architectural tour boat. We were crossing the river. Yeah. We just returned from Goose Island and heading back down toward the Canyon of Glass. And then.
Yeah.
The tour bus came a-calling right over our head. It rained down yellow and brown and red.
Damn.
Do you ever see Dave Matthews pee? It's like a golden kind of yellow right in my eye, like a doll's eyes, dead eyes.
Johnny Depp navigating the river. Yeah.
It's from that. That's
Quint
that's from
Jaws.
Captain Quint from Jaws. Hello.
Yeah.
Sorry, I never saw it.
Yeah.
What?
Oh my God!
My favorite movie.
Damn, it's the best movie ever made. Actually. Yeah.
That's why I don't go swimming anymore in the
All
ocean.
All I know is dun dun.
Dun dun.
Yeah, that was the sound right before the guy opened the hatch.
There we were. 80 different passengers went into the water. And all we could hear was the tinkling of a really fast played guitar over our heads. And a guy singing through his nose. And a guy sings through his nose. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like, well, like a guy singing through his nose.
All right. Anyway,
how did they figure it out? Did the tour bus immediately see it?
Oh, yeah. But no, the boat. I mean, you had the person on the boat. You know, was giving the tour. And on your left, you know, they're doing that. Sort
of
thing.
Usually very knowledgeable. I like right? that. I like that tour.
And then then that happens, and then the next thing you know, they're like, hey, what was that? And they see the thing going by, and so I think if I'm not mistaken, I seem to recall they were able to put it back together through the camera.
Yeah, because it wasn't immediate, but it was
like a day later they figured out who it was. And they were already in Cleveland or something.
It's like when you get caught in a storm and one drop hits your arm and you're like, what is that? And you look up and then it's a downpour right on you. Something similar to that.
It was like that, yeah.
Did you guys feel that? What was that? Is it raining?
Yuck.
Was it right in the forecast today?
And I think, in fairness, they may have said it was an accident. They didn't mean to dump it.
Mm. Well, he wasn't trying to hit anybody with it. He was just trying to dump it in the river like everybody else would.
No, but that's not the way you do it, right?
I know.
You hook up to something and they suck it out. And
yeah, exactly.
I'm saying, as I recall, they were like, oh, we didn't even know what happened. We didn't mean to dump it in the river.
Yeah, the poopy hatch opened and they didn't know how. Well, there's like a button you got to press to get the poopy hatch to open, isn't there?
Yeah, but normally you put it like into a dumping station. You got to latch it on.
That's right.
Secure it. Then you hit the button.
How many tour buses have you worked?
We had to do this on a road trip once. Me and my idiot friends.
Did you rent a bus like this?
It was like a stripped down camper. We were taking a trip up to New York. But yeah, we had to do that. And there were some mistakes made.
Yeah. Mistakes can be made. Yeah. And then you got, Cook County, the lawyer, they got to hire a local lawyer to handle those.
Why not?
Ladies and gentlemen, a jury, please. Mistakes can be made. I may point out that the button for the poopy hitch is right next to the lights.
Yeah.
So you're not sure when you're pulling on it, then you're pulling on the poopy hitch, you're pulling on the lights. And some clouds had gone over, it seemed darker, he wanted to put his lights on. It was a proper safety thing, a total accident, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. I'll sit down and wait for my fine.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't seem plausible.
All right. A.B. Stoddard is standing by. Oh, my God. We got to get to her. Hold on. Let's check in now with Judy. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
A teacher accused of killing another teacher.
Oh, man. This is a really awful story. Violetta?
Don't miss Chicago Tribune's first ever night market. Enjoy food, fun, and entertainment August 24th through August 26th. Learn more. Visit ctfoodbowl.com/night market.
I'm scared.
Why are you scared?
I don't know. That sounds scary to me.
You were thinking about the slash.
Sorry. Backslash sounds less scary than the slash.
Right. I don't like when you're slashing things. I don't know what on the internet. I don't know. We got White Sox tickets coming up a little bit. Actually, coming up this hour. Your chance to win a family four-pack of tickets to the White Sox versus the Kansas City Royals on Friday, August 17th. That'll be kind of fun. That'll be kind of
easy.
Because you never know when you get that might be the game Eloy comes up.
You never know.
You get to see future Hall of Famer. I couldn't have done more to curse this guy.
I know.
Well, Michael Kopech referred to him as Babe Ruth, so I don't think you're, this isn't a stretch by any means. People are very excited to see what he can do.
Yeah.
We're ready to see him.
As well they should, because it's going to be something. I mean, the kid started in Double-A this year, right? And they were like, well, we'll keep him there. Maybe by the end of the season, maybe by August, we'll move him up to Triple-A, and we'll just see how he does. So he slashes his way. He hits 600,000 home runs and bats. He bats not only 1,000, he bats 2,000. He had two hits every time he was up at bat in Double-A. And then they move him to Triple-A early. They're like, well, I don't know. They literally ran out of pitchers. There were pitchers who refused to come out onto the mound in double A, to pitch to him.
They would just lay down in the fetal position on the mound.
Right.
We give up.
Guys were asking to be pulled out of the game. You know, like when pitchers get mad when they're being pulled out of the game? Like, oh, come on! This is more like, hey, come on, get me! Come get me! And then he goes to AAA in Charlotte. And first of all, they're selling out the stadium in Charlotte to go watch this guy.
Oh, yeah.
Think about that.
How exciting would
that
be?
And he's hitting .378 in his first month in AAA. I mean, it's like, it's the craziest thing ever.
If that guy's not ready for the big leagues, who is?
Right.
So we're supposed to wait because of, what is the situation again? Why are we waiting?
Don't worry about it. It's too complicated.
We'll see him soon.
You know they're going to bring him up. Luis Robert, you might not see.
Robert's still only 19 or 20. He's probably maybe end of next year, but Eloy's ready. It's just has to do with whether the White Sox, as you said, it is a bit complicated whether or not they want to bring him up, start this whole service time thing.
But we do imagine we'd see him in coming months?
I can't guarantee it. I don't know. I'm 50-50 on whether or not.
I'm so sick and tired of everybody being coy with this. First of all, and I'll tell you why.
Tell us.
Let me tell you why. Because the White Sox have been saying, And the broadcast team and stuff like that, who, mm-hmm. you know, everybody wants to be super conservative, and they don't want anybody at the organization yelling at them, right? They don't mm-hmm. want the team yelling at them. But they're all like, oh, no, we're not going to. They're tamping down expectations. No, we're not going to bring him up this year. No, it's not going to bring him. No. And now they go, you're going to bring him up this year? Well, we'll see. Which means he's coming up.
Okay.
All right. We're going with that. And now coming up.
Now, the smart theory last night around the park was that they'll bring him up in a look for a series that isn't a native sellout series, like and when I say sellout I mean that, you know, sort of air quotes, mm-hmm. Like the Cubs series at the end of September, that's going to be a sellout. I think they've got Boston one more time in September, if I'm not mistaken.
Boston next week.
Yeah. Okay. Boston next week. You got the big draw, like Yankees, you know, right. Just pulling out of town right now.
They were doing, yeah, they did well with attendance.
A couple of weeks for Boston, but yeah, I mean, you know, last year Yoan Moncada, their second baseman right now, came up and they sold an extra 5,000 seats.
Right, Yo-Yo.
Yo-Yo.
You learn that. You got to start yelling when he gets up to bat. It's fun, though. You could tell that this is a team where they're kind of, they're looking at, like, at each other, realizing that there's something here. There's an energy building, and then they look at the other guys going, but you're not going to be here for it. But it was real. But just remember.
you at least helped us a little bit. But there's a young core, and they all know where this team is at right now, and I think they're all really excited. They all communicate. They all talk about eventually putting together a championship team.
I'm excited. I've had a ton of fun out there this season mm-hmm. already. And I've seen, I've seen one win, and I've been out there maybe eight times. But it doesn't matter. It's a great night at the ballpark.
It is. I was just there Monday night. Enjoyed that very much. It's a ton of fun. And we're going to be broadcasting live out there.
See, you're seeing some great baseball, like you've seen now two nights in a row on the outfield. But you're also seeing some really interesting things happen. Mm-hmm. You're seeing things that don't happen in T-ball every once in a while. That team that it's really quite kind of a moment where you're like, wait. Go get – and those – I won't call anybody out, but those are the guys you know you will not be seeing next season. All right. Let's find out from Judy what's happening in the WGN news right now. Tom Skilling joins the program being brought to you by PermaSeal Basement Systems.
Hello, Tom.
Hello, Anna. How are you guys doing? Happy hump day.
Thank you.
That's all
Happy
right.
Wednesday to you, too.
Yes. What a nice day out there.
Mm-hmm. I was walking around downtown. I was on the phone. Uh-huh. And
they let you do
the
that?
The recipient of my phone call, I was wearing my earbuds, my AirPods, peeps, mm-hmm. whatever they call those things, mm-hmm. which I haven't yet to have lost. I'm very afraid I'm going to lose them.
Why are you afraid you're going to lose it?
Because they're expensive, and they're ones that you keep in a little box, and they charge, and then
yes.
they're wireless.
They're wireless.
They're wireless.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, the wired ones I lose all the time.
Mm-hmm. Or they just get so tangled that you eventually give up.
That's true. That's my problem. I get them all tangled mm-hmm. up.
And you're afraid, right? And every time you're trying to detangle them, you're going, my God, if this were an emergency.
said answer the phone.
I would really be in trouble now, wouldn't I?
Or you just hold the phone up to your ear.
Yeah. Oh, what? You can do that?
Yeah.
Anyway, so I bought these when I got my new phone, and because I have a friend who's got them, he swears by them. He's like, dude, you're gonna love them. They're gonna be great.
Yeah.
Great, great, great.
I don't love them, but okay, I don't know what your experience is because you got to charge them. So it's just like another thing other than the phone. You got to forget to charge.
I've never had a problem though with that because they charge in the box.
Oh,
so you charge the box, and then you put them in the box, and they charge while they're in the box.
Well, that's cool. Yeah.
So
I got to get the box then. Apparently, I don't have the box.
Well, the box is what they come in.
Really? And they charge in that? I think you still have to plug it in. Plug it in, though. Don't you have to still plug it in?
You plug the box in to start it, and then you keep the box charged. Like once every couple of days, you plug the box in for 30 minutes, and that charges up. And it's amazing how quickly this works.
Mm-hmm.
I've never had the problem yet. Now, are you out of the box?
I think I am. Yeah. I think I just plugged them in through a little wire that I put into the wall. Just like
not
the phone.
In a box? Not in a little box?
No. I got mine about a year ago. Maybe they changed? I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, they change like every 3 months. But my sister uses them. They're in her ear, and then she's screaming to normal people next to her. I'm like, you have something blocking your hearing. You don't have to talk so loudly. She's
right.
Like, I can't hear you. I'm like, yeah, well, take the earbud out.
Yeah.
It's like people on airplanes talking to each other. They've all got their earbuds in and they're screaming.
When you guys walk around, are you worried about being not alert about what's going on around you? Does it block out like the sound of traffic or anything like that?
See, I hate walking around with headphones for that exact reason, Tom.
Yeah.
I like to keep my head on a swivel. Coming around the corner.
I mean, I'd be the kind of guy, you know, I would walk in front of a bus or something like that and not even realize I was doing it.
I literally worry about I feel like I just can't get all the surroundings
down. Do you guys
not
use your eyes?
Yeah, but you can't hear all of a sudden like a horn honking and you turn around and there's like a bus coming at you.
Yeah.
Head on a swivel, Kevin.
Keep your head on a swivel.
Feet
Kevin's
shoulder width
right.
apart. Keep your head on a swivel.
Right.
See, what we need is those earbuds that have, like, you know, the gear that you have, the software in your cars that tells you you're about ready to crash.
Yes.
The
beeping noise.
That would be helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could
Where
beep.
Are those?
Something's the only thing is, from the right or the left.
Don't you find, though, that those things kind of scare you? I'll be driving and it'll beep and I think, oh, my gosh, what direction is the hazard coming at me from?
Right.
Is it behind me? On the sides and all, and by then, you know, you're probably going to pull into something.
Yeah,
whatever.
Slam your brakes on at that point. It's your best bet.
Yeah, that'll go over well in traffic and all.
Okay, you know, you people do not understand the importance of this. First of all, I want to detach myself from everything that's going on. I want a soundtrack. I want to pretend I'm in Baby Driver, and I want to have all this cool music playing in my head while I'm walking through this beautiful city today.
Right.
So I was on the phone. I'm doing business. I'm moving. I got two jobs, Tom. It never ends. I'm like a Sherpa without the oxygen tank.
I know.
So I'm like, I'm running back and forth, I'm on the phone, and she says to me, "So how's your day?" I go, it's been crazy, but right now I'm just going to take a walk on this most beautiful day, and I'm going to turn on the music, in my head. And I don't want anybody talking to me.
It's a great way to go.
And I just and I turned on the music and I walked downtown. I walked along the river to come over to our new offices. And it was so beautiful. And the sun is perfect. This August sun is a beautiful.
It is.
August and September sun in Chicago is just perfect, gorgeous against the blue skies. It's in a great angle, and you get and the architecture just pops.
It does
as you walk through it.
Yeah.
Absolutely, and it's naked weather. You know, it's like it's perfectly warm enough to be naked in, but not like humid enough that you're sweating.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's an interesting way to look at it.
You're wearing nothing but your earbuds.
Is that what you think, Tom, when you think of this weather?
The naked part had never occurred to me, but I know what Rose's saying. I understand completely.
what do you mean you don't understand what I'm saying? What's wrong with you? What? This is nakedness. This is how this goes.
I know. Well, we're all hung up in this country about
nakedness.
Nakedness.
Yeah.
Except for the people who should be hung up about it. Those
right.
are the ones who are always naked.
And I'm one of them.
Free the nipple.
Yeah.
Oh, gee.
Yeah. Anyway, the point is,
enjoy the city a little bit, right? Get out, take it in. I feel the same way. I try to do it after I leave here. Sometimes I walk
up the river to the West Loop, and yeah. It is one of them. It's just gorgeous.
It
appreciate
gorgeous,
our beautiful
gorgeous.
City.
Oh, that lakefront! On a gorgeous day, it is so beautiful. There's nothing like it. No analog anywhere else in the country.
No, there is not. And that is, you could go to. You go to New York.
Yeah, it's a great city, but it doesn't have our lakefront.
Not like this. So you go. The only place you go is that stupid bench that's in every Woody Allen movie, where you look at Brooklyn across the East River. That's the only place you can go and go, oh, look at this. And then if you're in New York and you're looking west, you look across the Hudson, you're looking at Newark, New Jersee. It's what's the other one up there that's, Jersey City and all that? And it's like, okay, whatever. But here, and it's a great skyline, New York, no question about it, but you got to be in a boat to see it. Here, you walk down, you see it from the highways, or you walk down the lake, and you got it's beautiful.
It's gorgeous.
Anyway, so I did that, and I'm walking, and I'm thinking, now, the important thing, I get the idea. I do get the idea of not hearing things.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of electric cars. Now you're not going to hear them anyway. You got to always be aware. You got to be looking at wherever you are.
Because
then there's guys that, come up to, as I'm walking, these guys on Whacker or whatever coming up, and they just start walking with you and asking you about stuff. And I love the idea I don't hear you. I just keep going.
Yeah.
So you just block out humanity.
He does that to us, too, sometimes in the hallway.
He does. I've noticed that, too, Violetta. Nope, I can't hear you.
It's a veteran move.
Well, I'll tell you, you're in a line of work. All of us are, where we are constantly thinking on our feet and all. It's kind of nice to have moments to veg out to a great piece of music or something like that and just let it all go.
Yeah.
Ariana Huffington always says we've got to disconnect. That's one of her big things, among other people. And she says she tells her employees to go home and, dispense with the phone and all the rest. But you're using the phone for music.
Oh, by the way, I love when they do that. I love when these people who have these 24-hour-a-day operations.
Yes.
And they're like, oh, we need you to disconnect. Like when Oprah did that whole thing, do not use the phone in your car. You're not allowed to use the phone in your car.
But her people, unless, you work for her.
Right, unless she calls. And then if you're not picking up the phone.
I don't think her people are allowed to unplug, ever. I've known some of her producers over the years. They work really hard, worked very,
yes.
very, very
and
hard.
And it's sort of like, this whole idea of I just want you to go home and enjoy your life unless I need something
unless you're working for me,
right? And I think the producers on this program would agree with what I am saying about me as well. Uh-huh. It's like I'm like, hey dude, go
enjoy
relax,
your
do whatever
life.
It is. Yeah. And then I'm calling it a Saturday night at like 3 o'clock in the morning.
See that?
What are we doing at 2:15 on Monday?
Right. Yeah. I just saw this. I need this.
Right.
Pay attention, people. How'd you miss that?
By the way, you messaged me yesterday about an article you had read about climate change or something.
Yeah.
And that was interesting. And by the way, I hadn't realized all the pictures you had sent to me on my phone from your trip to South America.
I had
one waterfall, but it was like a travel log there. It was marvelous.
Thanks.
To look
did
at
Joe Donlin get him too?
I did notice that Tom doesn't really respond. I sent Tom things. And I think Tom looks at it and goes, oh, God, what is this?
I'm terrible. I am terrible. People send me messages. Uh-huh. And I don't even know they've sent them to me. So I'm already, in a manner of speaking, unplugged. And it isn't by design, It just is, I don't know.
Yeah, your general manager.
Irresponsibility or something.
Our shared general manager, mm-hmm. Paul Rennie,
yes.
has actually said to me, stop sending anything to Skilling. Just stop sending it.
Why?
Just stop
sending it. Did he say that?
Yeah, just stop sending it. He's too nice. He doesn't want to tell you. Just stop sending it.
Did Paul say that to you, really?
No, he did not really.
I was going to say, there's no you're not overbearing with your messages or anything like that.
And he had that beautiful sunset picture that he sent you you were able to use as a weather photo.
I know.
After he hinted at it over and over and over
again.
Well,
I climbed a tree to get a picture.
I thought it was great. And so did everybody who saw it. That was a beautiful shot.
Yes, it was.
Uh-huh.
It's all
at
WGNRadio.com. Yeah, I do. All right, now let's. That's why I need a third job to make myself even crazier. But you know what was interesting? Huh. What was really interesting about the article that I sent Tom?
Yeah.
And I do want to mention this. The reason I sent it to him is I want to mention this on the air. This is really they've been doing this paleontological work up at the North Pole, North and South Pole.
Right, paleoclimatology.
Right, where they're going in and they're digging up fossils.
Yeah.
under the ice.
They're called proxy indicators, or they're used that way. And, you know, they use everything from ice cores to tree rings to lake bottom sediments, ocean bottom sediments. Each of them reveals a lot about what the climate has done. And, you know, a lot of people criticize climate science say, oh, we've only had instruments back to the 1800s. They don't realize there's a whole field, paleoclimatology, that looks back and with great detail at the climate trends and that go back millions of years.
Yes.
And so that article was very interesting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what they did, but here's the thing they found.
Yeah.
Up in the North Pole,
okay,
they found the skeletal remains, right?
Oh,
the
yeah.
Fossils of like 40-foot pythons.
Right.
Wow.
Of crocodiles, or no, alligators, mm-hmm, of all these things that are now just tropical animals.
Interesting.
And it's an example of continental drift. You know, the fact that we float around on these plates on the planet, and what is now in the North Pole was once in the tropics.
Right.
Yeah, is evidenced by the vegetation. It really is.
And you see these things, and you're like, oh, my God, what's going on up there? And there was also a moment where that, because of these core samples, they can tell that we have been through a warming cycle once before.
Mm-hmm. Oh, more than once.
Right. One very specific one after the extinction, whatever the life-ending event on Earth was that ended the dinosaur reign.
Yes, yes.
And then
the
all of a sudden, these mammals that started to become the dominant creatures on the planet, because prior to that they were just being eaten, and now they became the top of the food chain predators. And then you're starting to see them, including things that you would not normally see. You could see lemurs and tapirs and things like that, mammals up in the North Pole ring that you would not anticipate because it had been warm enough up there at one point.
Right. Right. But, you know, at the point that that was occurring, it wasn't even up at the North Pole, you know, geographically.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, there was the drift that went on. Yeah, that was like 20 to 45 million years ago. And it's quite interesting. I mean, we've had warm episodes like that, but never in the extent of the period of human
experience
on this planet.
Right.
Have we ever, and we're undergoing changes with 7.5 billion on the planet, and many of them within reach of rising seas and everything else, and, you know, with homes in forests that are burning up and all the rest, right, that, you know, raises the stakes here.
Yes.
Yes, it certainly does.
Well, and also people go, well, you know, climate, who cares about the climate, change?
Oh,
you know, it's about the people. Well, wait, but the point is that's, it's like your house. You go, well, I don't care about my house. Your house is on fire. You know, it's sort of like you got there. It may impact how you live. This actually might hit you. This isn't just about, about Al Gore trying to sell you a carbon offset. Real businesses in the real world are dealing with this in a real way.
How'd you like to live? We play video of people watching this wall of fire coming at you. Do you know that there were fire nados? These are tornadic vortices of fire that developed last week. One took down one of these high tension towers, and they found that it's the equivalent. It had the winds that were equivalent to an EF3 tornado. And it turns out these tornadic vortices that are being spun up by these California fires are beyond those that occurred during the Dresden bombing. You know, the carpet bombing back in World War II. Those produced winds estimated about 112 miles an hour. They figure the one last week down near or out near Redding, California, had a wind of 143 miles an hour. And you've got not only that coming at you, but also fire and everything else. I mean, it's a hellacious environment out there in places. You really feel for people.
You feel for the firefighters, too.
Oh, these fire. And the air quality. You know, there have been studies. The air quality in the West has been going downhill fast because these long fire seasons. In fact, somebody sent me a picture today from Oregon. You think of it as such a pristine, beautiful environment. These folks are choking on the smoke and all that these fires produce every season. And it's something.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It is.
Yeah. It's crazy. And, you know, there have been fires in California our whole lives. Right?
Sure.
This is not necessarily a new thing. But when this is kind of, all right, I have to admit, this is a very funny moment yesterday when the president tweeted over the weekend, right, that the reason that the fires are so bad in California is because they're trying to conserve water out there and they're not using the water right, and because we're not deforesting properly.
It was the bad environmental laws.
Bad environmental laws. Yeah. So they went to the White House and they were like, what environmental laws is he referring to? And literally the press office at the White House goes, what? We're not sure.
We'll get back to you.
Yeah. They were like, you know what? We don't know. Because he's just saying something that will appeal to the people who love him, that go, yeah, that must be true.
You know, it's amazing. It would be like me trying to develop real estate, you know? And
right.
I think we ought to stick to what we know, or else tap people with expertise in the field to do it. He finally has a science advisor, by the way, and
really?
500 plus days into the administration. And this fellow, Kelvin Drogemeyer, was one of our Fermilab speakers years ago. I Googled it to try and remember what year he was there. It's 2003. He's out of the University of Oklahoma, a brilliant guy, and also very articulate. And there's great hope in
the
scientific community. Yeah, that because he's going to have his work cut out for him with that bunch.
Well,
so.
It's great that he's there, though, and not someone with lesser credentials.
No, it's true. He's being widely the response is good. But on the other hand, he's moving into headwinds, no question about it.
It'll be interesting. All right. Tom, thank you very much. Appreciate it, sir.
Guys, good to talk to you.
We will see you tonight on the news starting
at
5 o'clock.
Be careful with those buds.
Thank you very much.
All right.
I can't hear you. What?
No.
All right, Judy, what's coming up at the top of the hour? Bye.
Governor Rauner weighing in on the violence in Chicago.
Violetta? Lester Holt, NBC Nightly News, joins us.
Mm-hmm.
Lester, you recognize this song?
I certainly do. That's Jefferson Starship Jane. It also happens to be one of the songs my band covers.
Now, let me bring this up. Is this Jefferson Starship or your band?
Well, this is us. This is us.
How about that?
That sounds great.
Yeah, we played in the Today Show a few weeks back. That was us, yeah.
How cool is that?
Yep, there you go. Yeah, he didn't hit the post. I'm going to make you play DJ because we all saw the Seth Meyers interview that you did, and we have questions, we have thoughts, we have notions about what happened here in this interview because you did talk about being a DJ and you're on the radio now, and we also adhere to the tenets of Top 40 Radio here at WGN, even though we've never played Top 40 in our lives.
No,
and hitting the post on the song when you're introducing and stuff like that. We're going to play a little game
that was huge
coming up in just a few minutes with that. But you said to Seth Meyers, I mean, you're one of the most influential journalists in America in the 21st century in America. And when you were a kid growing up and you were, starting to work as, I think you said you were 16 or something when you started at a radio station.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Sacramento.
Yeah.
Did you ever imagine that you'd be one of the most influential journalists in the world? Did you think that at the time? Probably not, right? But you are?
Never. No, I never did. But what I'm happy about is I still have the same kind of giddy enthusiasm for the business that I had then. And you never know if that's going to be the case, but I really do. So in many ways, I'm that still nerdy kid, trying to hanging around radio stations and TV stations, thinking, "Well, man, this is so cool."
Yeah, when you walk through and you see the equipment, you're like, "Oh!" When you want to have a conversation with an engineer, then you're still into the business.
You're like, "Whoa!"
Yeah, but I want to ask you this though. You did say that your dream job, if you weren't doing this, would be to be in a wedding band.
Well, I don't know when I'm going to retire. It's still a ways away. But I really am, kind of reacquainted myself with my music career. And I enjoy playing and I enjoy making people happy. And I think, God, when I go to a wedding, you got everybody from little kids to grandma. They're out there dancing. And the band is rocking all these great covers that everybody knows. And they span generations. And I thought that would be a nice, part-time job in retirement. And what do you know? I mean, I could garden, but I don't have a garden, but I do have a base. So I don't know.
I love the idea of being like grandma at the wedding, you know, at the Waldorf in New York.
Isn't that Lester Holt? Exactly.
I didn't say it was going to be a cheap band to hire now,
no,
by the way.
No, I wouldn't.
I said it's a Waldorf wedding. It's going to be a big deal.
But you already do a number of gigs, right, Lester? We hear about them from time to time. Wasn't it the Correspondence Dinner? And then you just.
Yeah, I have a band called Lester Holt and the Rough Cuts. We're kind of a rock and roll cover band, and we actually have a gig coming up on the 19th here in New York at Hill Country, if you happen to be in town. But we enjoy. We're all NBC employees, and you know, we all have our day jobs, and sometimes it's hard to rehearse. But we've managed to squeak out some gigs and having a lot of fun. You know, I always say it's nice to have something else in your life, especially when you have a job that really tends to, you know, focus all your energy and your attention. It's nice to have something you can just step away and do that. So I'm not a news guy. I'm just a musician.
But do you, you truly are able to just, it's one of those things that's like kind of therapy probably. Like I love that because then you unplug and you truly can't think about your work when you're doing it.
Yeah. And I used to, jazz is my main thing. I like to play the upright bass. And I used to, every once in a while, sit in with a friend who was a vocalist, and I'd sit in and do a set at a little jazz club. And you'd see people kind of looking at me like, why does that bass player look familiar, you know? And eventually they would announce it. But it was fun. It was kind of fun to just hang out with and play with musicians who, I'm pretty sure they didn't watch me. I don't know if they knew what I did for a living. But it was, you know, just fun to have that different life.
It's like when Woody Allen goes and plays clarinet. Right?
In a, yeah, right.
Like in,
right.
In the hotel there, like on Tuesday nights or something, mm-hmm. he just goes and plays clarinet, and people go and they go, that looks just like it. Woody Allen's father, you know, and it's, then that's, yeah. and it's Woody. It's a thing. All right.
That's awesome. Now
I got to go back to your radio career just to finish up on this, because I was so fascinated by this. Did you ever spin records, or did you go right to the news car?
No, I did news, but then I had a weekend job at it was actually a country and western station. It was a very powerful 50,000-watt station in Sacramento. I wasn't a big, you know, CNW fan, but I was young. I was trying to learn how to work the control board and how to edit tape and, you know, cue up carts and all those sorts of things, all those archaic terms that you may or may not remember.
Mm-hmm.
I used to love to talk up the record. You were talking about that, you know.
All right, so
the music plays.
If I gave you a record, now I'm going to give you a couple formats since you started in country. Now I just found that out. So we're going to, for this, undoubtedly you played this when you were starting at. Well, actually, this came out right after you had already started. But everybody knows this particular song right here, the Billy Ray Cyrus, the father of what's her name. We don't even know who she is anymore. and the achy breaky heart. So we're going to just let you go, and then you just have to stop. I don't care what you say, how long you say it for. How long? Tell us, because he would know. How long is the post here?
I don't know how long the post is.
I'm going to find out from our engineers here. Hold on. They're going to get the number for us. You're going to do this off your ear. You can't really do this off of a stopper because it's, you know, like a time stopper. It's a little, you know, you don't have it in front of you. Oh, this is a tight one. Okay, so it's 4 seconds. So when it starts, just say whatever you got to say. You know, Lester Holt on the NBC Nightly News.
All right.
You know, whatever you want to do.
I got this. 19 minutes outbound, 4 o'clock in Chicago. Achy breaky heart, dig it. On WGN.
Oh, you stepped
out.
Oh,
I thought it sounded great.
Oh, we got right on.
That sounded great.
Oh, you stepped out.
Oh, my gosh.
I nailed it.
You did. You totally did.
That was impressive. Lester,
I was like, wow.
Right out of the gate, unprompted?
Yeah, on the fly.
Oh, my goodness.
That's why you guys are pros. Best in the biz.
All right, one more. This is because you're a wedding. You want to do wedding bands. I figure you're going to have to know this song.
Okay.
No.
We need the intro.
No. Yeah, we need to celebrate. We need Cool in the Gang. Oh, here we go.
We're driving Chicago home with the best music ever. We're going to take you back to the 70s, the soundtrack of my life. Dig it, Earth, Wind, and Fire. And is this Boogie Wonderland? What is this?
No, it's Cool in the Gang.
Oh, Cool in the Gang. Oh, well.
We still got time.
You got this.
Okay, we're taking you home with the best music in Chicago.
Wow.
Nailed it.
Nailed it.
Nailed it. Now that was a good
that
meal.
That was so good.
All right. Oh, so you got it.
How long did you do
that
for?
You know what? Forget the wedding band. I'm gonna retire and go back to radio.
That was fun.
I forgot how much I missed doing that. Yeah.
Wait, how long did you do it for, Lester? It was just very
just
short.
Playing the records only about a couple of years. Then I got into this whole news thing. But that was fun because the music was on a cartridge, and they would put a little thing on the label so it would say, okay, intro 13 seconds, and then a little light would flash. So it was always fun trying to hit it.
Oh, that's awesome. That was so good.
Yeah.
It was so good. And his voice changes. It gets a little lighthearted.
I'll just tell you that there's no better feeling in the world than hitting the post. I'm sorry.
Did you play records?
Yeah, yeah. And of all the radio skills that I have learned since, subsequent to that, I was in my early 20s, like you were, doing that. Then when you finally... you go off, you do everything else. There's nothing more satisfying. I don't care. You can nail a phone call or whatever it is. You can have a great moment. If someone comes up down the street and recognizes your work, there's nothing like hitting the post on a Rick James record. All right, Lester, one more time.
All right, everybody. Hope you're having a good time driving home after a busy Wednesday. We got the music, the soundtrack to your commute home as slow as you want to go. I can't remember the song.
That was great.
Now, and you remember, now the so trick good. Here, and I've taught the kids here, the trick here is always at the end of it, go 79 at O'Hare. And then let it, if you're struggling for time.
Right, it gives you a second and a half.
Right, give a temperature check. And
you're in the middle
to
of the winter, go right. 79
or if you
O'Hare.
Or if you had the good four-letter call letter. So yours is WGN, doesn't kind of, it has to be like something, bomb, 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 bomb. You
right,
know?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, so yeah. Hey, back to NBC Nightly News.
Oh, that's right.
That was so impressive.
You guys are taking all my time away.
Yeah. Back to NBC Nightly News. Tonight, Cynthia McFadden has a special report about the amount of money that lobbyists and influential types are paying at the Trump International Hotel in Washington, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's two lawsuits of those who believe the president is essentially profiting from his office in this place. But, you know, NBC looked at, and Cynthia's team looked at FEC filings. They found that over 2 years, PACs and Republican campaigns have spent over $1 million. Lobbyists who worked for Saudi Arabia spent about $270,000. And then a few months later, the president was on his way to Saudi Arabia. And a number of other foreign embassies have held functions there. And the belief among some is that, you know, the whole idea is, you spend your money there and curry favor, you know, with the president. So the lawsuits are pending, but Cynthia went back and looked at the numbers and found that something real is happening there.
Like real dollars, real money is being made.
Yeah, yeah, real money, you said it perfectly. But that clause is being violated. So we'll see where the lawsuits go. But it was interesting to see what she and her team were able to dig up.
We'll look for that. That's interesting. Definitely.
All right. Yeah. And then this, this is just a horrifying story, though. The story out of Taos, New Mexico, that gets worse and worse and worse almost every hour.
Yeah.
They were looking for this missing girl, and then they end up going into this home. They find all this other stuff. They find these kids that are being trained to be school shooters by this crazy guy.
How horrifying, right?
Yeah, that's what the court filing said. So they found these kids are ages 1 to 5. There were 11 of them. And now in this new court filing, they're saying that he was actually giving them weapons training with the idea that they could eventually become school shooters. It was just a horrifying thought. Now, we don't know how far along that was, but it gives you some of the ideas of the suspicions of what was happening at that location. And, you know, they had 11 kids. They were actually looking for the little boy. They found the remains of a child that remained unidentified, but quite possibly the child they were looking for. But just horrifying. Yeah, it's the more you peel back in this one, the darker it gets.
It does seem that way. And they were his children, the person who is accused of doing these kinds of things?
Yeah, one of the children was, yeah. And there were some other parents that were there, and apparently they told the story of it's kind of unraveling in bits and pieces, but apparently they had pointed to the fact that he was doing this weapons training.
How sad.
All right.
And they found, as you know, they found a number of weapons in this makeshift compound.
Now, I hope, I pray to God that none of your colleagues were listening to you talking up the records, because they're never going to take you seriously the same way. Because when you hear that on the one side and you don't actually hear you hit the post on the other side, you know, like they're hearing just you on the phone, they're going to be looking at you.
My assistant's on the other side of the glass, and she did give me this horrified look like, what the heck are you doing?
So I'm going to
have to, as soon as I hang up for you, I'm going to have to walk in there and explain
what
that was all about.
You got some explaining to do.
See, what happened was...
No, it was all cool. It was fine.
No,
it was fun. It's radio. They loved it.
I used to do radio. I did a little radio in Sacramento. Yeah, I did a cup of coffee. Yep. Yeah. All right, get out of here, Lester Hall. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Lester.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, that was fun.
79 at O'Hare.
That was so fun to hear him.
All right, let's check in with Judy, find out what she's doing. She would never, she's a serious news person. She'd never play around like this.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I would, but I'll be serious now.
Okay.
Visitation has been set for a Blackhawks legend.
Violetta?
And now, the Rokan Show presents News or Ruse, a true game of true wit and skill. And now, here's your master of ceremonies, Rokan!
Thank you, Mr. Duffy. We do have, we're very honored to have Monica Benson with us to play News or Ruse. She is a bugleist at Arlington Park, Arlington International Racecourse. I like to say Arlington Park because, you know, that's what I say. But I know that they're sticklers about this. This is Million Weekend. This is the big thing, right? This is where the rubber, well, it's like rubber, it's where the hoofs hit the dirt, is basically what, or in this case, turf. I'll get this right at some point. Don't you worry about it.
We're almost there. You're close.
Yeah, we're getting there.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting there. And this is it. So now, this is interesting. How did you end up being a obviously, you played horn in like grade school, high school, right?
I did, yeah. I started playing trumpet, just like beginning band trumpet, when I was in sixth grade. And then I played all the way through middle school, high school, and then into college. And the track, my senior year of college at DePaul, the track called my school and they were like, do we need some?
They need a bugler.
Got anybody great?
Yeah.
How cool was that? Were you a fan of horse racing at that time?
I knew nothing about horse racing at all. I remember calling my mom and telling her that I got a job at a horse racing track, and she goes, why?
Well, let me just tell you something. Let me just tell you, I have been in the horse racing industry in one way or another for my entire life, and I know nothing about it either. So
well,
it just tells you everything.
It's a humbling experience
very
for
humbling.
All of us.
Very. So DePaul School of Music, which is one of the best in the world. So congratulations on that.
It's
and
pretty
they
great.
Are building this new facility at DePaul that is spectacular.
Yes, it's
for the
very
School
lovely.
Of Music. Yeah. So it's going
to
be.
Do your friends come out and listen to you? At the track?
Sometimes, yeah. I love it when people come and visit, because then I can take them down and, like, pet horses or, like, I don't know. It's just fun. It's like bring your friends
to work
day.
It's a cool experience,
isn't
it?
Which is really fun.
Yeah, it's a really unique. It's one of the most beautiful places in the world for racing. And in North America, probably the best modern facility for horse racing in America. So
absolutely. It's beautiful. There are people getting married there. Like, there was a wedding there in the paddock, like, last weekend. I was like, aw.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
And the food's great, too.
The food's great. The atmosphere is great. It's just a great place to be.
There's a lot of paddocks in this country. A few of them even in the sound you wouldn't want to get married in. Arlington is one of them that's beautiful to get married
in. That's somehow true.
Yes. That is really, that's very, very nice. And you brought your, this is a bugle? What is this technically?
It's a Herald trumpet.
It's a Herald trumpet.
So it's just like a regular trumpet.
That
like,
was the name of my accountant, actually, for years, Herald trumpet.
Oh.
What is the,
funny enough.
So can you, I don't know, is it going to be too loud if you actually blow it in here?
Maybe. I don't know. I can give it a go.
Let's hear it.
Just don't aim it at the microphones.
I will not.
This thing's giant. How many feet long is this thing? Like 4 feet long?
Probably about
3.5 feet.
Yeah, 3.5.
It's very impressive. It's gorgeous.
Can you hit the post to the?
Wow, Monica!
Wow.
Now, how difficult is that? As obviously you can play, you've had a lot of experience, and you're excellent at what you do. But is that a difficult thing for somebody, a bugler, to play?
It just takes a lot of air. And control with your lips.
You have to do the vibrating thing.
Do you vibrate that with your lips? Like you like when you blow into it?
Yeah, your lips kind of buzz because if your lips are tight together, the faster you blow your air through them, they kind of vibrate. So
interesting.
Yeah. How cool is that?
Yeah,
it's amazing.
I just it's I've never understood it. I've never understood the horn instrument. And then when you have to take the little part out and then just spittle on it and you got to clean it out. And then
the reed?
You kind of keep moving through. I don't know. I never.
Oh, you like the dumper. Don't you have like a dumper thing?
Yeah, it's called a spit valve. And like,
yeah, spit valve.
People who are nice say that it's condensation, but it's spit.
Spit, yeah.
Yeah.
Spittle.
Get rid of that. Kind of like the Dave Matthews Band. You just get rid of it.
Yeah, well, yeah. Different, though. Different. That's spittle from a different area. This makes a ton
just
of sense.
Don't dump it on anybody else because that wouldn't be nice.
So, and not during the season, do you play professionally?
I'm actually in grad school right now. So, I'm back at DePaul for my grad degree. But I do a lot of teaching. I teach, and DePaul has a community music program that has like a Chicago Public Schools outreach. So, I teach in CPS. Ravinia has an El Sistema program that I teach in during the summer. And a couple school years ago, I like taught the whole school year. But yeah, I'll do like an occasional.
Teach all kind of music? You play other instruments too, or you just?
I sing a little bit.
Okay.
But that's pretty much it. I can play like a tiny
piano. I like when people go, I sing a little bit. When they go, I sing a little bit.
Then you know.
They're probably pretty good.
Right.
You know? When they go, yeah, no, I'm in a band. Then you know they suck. Yeah, but when they go, yeah, no, I sing a little bit. Yeah. Stevie Wonder goes, yeah, I sing a little bit. Yeah, I get it. I see what
you're
saying. I get it. I understand.
Now we know.
All right. Let's play News or Ruse. Do you understand what's going to happen here? No. All right. Don't worry about it. Just follow along.
She'll figure it out.
All right. Grand prize, 2-hour adult adventure package for two at Northwest Indiana Deep River Aerial Park. See, I like that when they say adult adventure package, you're like, what the hell are they talking about?
Mm-hmm. Your mind goes in different directions.
It does. No, this allows you to climb through treetop obstacles and soar through zip lines. Fun for adventurers 8 to 88. Book online at edgeadventureparks.com. And a never measure, easily center and hang all your wall decorations fast. I used this 2 days ago. It is amazing.
What were you measuring?
Changes. It was putting something up in a ceiling. It changes the way you live your life.
If you
do things, if you hang things, or you
hide things in your ceiling,
right? Or you do, or whatever you're doing, you have to put a nail or a screw in something. I'm telling you, you got to get this never measure. Eliminates the need for measuring tape and calculating fractions, which is good for everybody in radio because we can't do math.
Mm-hmm.
Better known to Made in the USA. Get yours at nevermeasure.com. All right. Here's how we're gonna play. Let's meet our contestants. Mike is playing with Judy. Jeff is playing with Violetta, and Lorraine is playing with Monica. All right? Everybody ready?
We're ready.
All right, Mike, you're starting. Mike, you and Judy are starting. Here's your headline. Is this news or did we make this up? News or ruse? Washington, D.C. is counting on all its cats. I'm sorry. Washington, D.C. is counting all its cats. It will take 3 years and $1.5 million.
Wow.
It sounds like something lawmakers would waste money on, doesn't it?
It sort of kind of does. I have to agree with that, and I'm trying to think of how anybody would have come up with that if it wasn't news. So I think I'm with you, Judy. Let's go for it.
News?
News.
You got it. Well done. Jeff and Violetta, you all ready for your headline?
I got faith in us.
Well, good luck.
Yeah. All right, here it is, Jeff, man of much faith. Tourists jailed for collecting seashells on Florida beach. Jeff?
I'd say that's true.
Me too. News.
Good job.
Oh, wow.
Well done.
Lorraine and Monica, here's your headline. Man who had sex with horse said it gave consent by winking at him. Now, remember, you do work for Arlington. Just remember that.
Oh, my gosh.
She answered that. Why would you give her this headline?
Why?
All right. Is that news or ruse?
What do you think, Lorraine?
I'm embarrassed.
I'm going to say that's ruse.
Yeah, I agree with you. Ruse.
We wish.
No, that happened.
Oh, we really wish.
Poor horse. Terrible.
God.
What was that?
Oh, Wilbur. That's you don't want to. You have to. That's one thing he does. Oh, God. All right. Stand back. All right. Here we go. Back to you, Mike and Judy. Here's your headline.
Man steals date's car, uses it to take another girl to drive-in movie, police say.
Man steals what kind of car?
Date. His date's car.
Okay.
He's a scoundrel, basically, but I would believe it.
News or ruse? News or ruse? News or ruse, people. News
so
or ruse.
Judy, you say news?
What do you think?
Oh, this is a tough one. I'm going to say news.
right, I need an answer.
Well, there it is.
All right, okay.
You
know,
got
Judy,
it.
We did this story.
We did. We talked about this on the air. You know what? That's too bad, because we already answered, and it's done.
I know. Well, you won, but you should have just known immediately, we talked about this on the air. All right.
I know, but I can't give it away.
Oh, okay.
That's why I let Mike answer.
Yeah, Jeff and Violetta. Jeff and Violetta, here's your headline. More than half of Russians agree President Trump would make a good drinking buddy.
I think it's true. What do you think?
Really? I was going to go opposite that, but I'm with you.
You think?
Well, I do sometimes.
I need an answer here, people. News or Ruse?
News.
News.
News?
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, now it's Florida and Trump. You never know
Russians.
What's going to happen.
They're all in the same thing. All right, Lorraine and Monica, here's the headline. An almond doesn't lactate.
FDA to crack down on the use of the word milk. Orion would be on board with that.
What was that? A what?
Exactly. I'm not sure it'll clear it up even though when you hear it.
For some reason, I don't think this is going to help Lorraine no matter how you do it. But go ahead.
All right. An almond, like a nut,
almond
doesn't lactate. FDA to crack down on use of the word milk.
Ooh, gee, my knees. I don't know. What do you think?
Come on, celebrity, help her out.
I feel like that one's a ruse.
You think that's a ruse?
Yes.
Okay, I'll go with ruse.
Okay.
Oh no!
You can't milk an
Lorraine.
Almond.
Right, but right.
You can't milk an almond. Yes. Go hear Orion Samuelson say that.
That's true. But you can a cat, as it turns out. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I have nipples. Can you milk me, Fokker? All right.
Enough with the animals.
Hold on 1 second. Lorraine, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. This ends our time together, Lorraine, because you're already statistically eliminated. But Monica gets to stay because she's a celebrity.
And Lorraine still wins.
Yes. She still wins because you get the never measure. I'm telling you, if you ever have to put something up, this never measure will save your life. It's so cool.
Good to know.
So cool. All right. So, and forget about it. You know that you're always trying to put something on, you can't figure out how far it is from the ground or how far it is from, you know, the other thing next to it. Now that it solves it all.
Mm-hmm.
It solves it all.
Perfect.
All right. All of that coming your way. We're going to, it's Jeff and Violetta trying to grasp this from Mike and Judy, who are already well ahead here in this game. But we'll find out how it ends. You never know. And I love to watch Judy lose after,
after
Judy has been so close to winning. It is always fun to watch her get really emotional. And Monica Benson is here from Arlington International Racecourse, Arlington Million, coming up this weekend, which is one of the preeminent events in the racing calendar for the year.
Yes.
Horses from all over the world are here for this, flying in on specially these special made big jumbo jets that fly the horses in from Dubai or from England or from France. Really amazing stuff. If you know nothing about horse racing, mm-hmm. the spectacle of this is really something to behold. So,
oh yes, absolutely. It's our biggest race day of the year, and we always look forward to it every year. There's like just so many things happening, and all the people are great. People dress up. And
I love
hats.
I love the hats
great.
Come out.
You can smell the money as they're walking around in there. I can just tell you that right
now. I smell the money being lost by myself.
Yeah. But there's people in suits that
but
you're
it's
like.
So fun.
It's like, is that guy royalty?
Right. You know, right. The seersuckers.
Yeah.
All that comes out.
Exactly. Guys who do look like princes, although they might also be con artists. You never sure. You never know for sure. All right, Monica, hold on 1 second. We'll come right back. Let's check in now with Judy, find out what's coming up at the top of the hour in the news.
A sad irony in California, a man named Forrest charged with starting a fire.
Violetta?
Get out your old stuff, find out what it's worth. The Steve Cochran Show brings you Swap Meet tomorrow at 8:40 in the morning.
I'm always worried about that.
What your stuff is worth?
Yeah, I don't ever like to call my Swap Meet stuff, because would it surprise you to learn that your stuff is worth nothing?
I know, right?
I don't know.
Your prized china from your grandma.
Yeah.
This is fake.
It's actually from China. What?
No.
What?
Huh?
All right. We're playing the news or ruse, and Monica Benson's with us. Monica is do we call you the bugler? What do we call you at Arlington?
They call me the bugler there.
The bugler.
Yep.
She's a bugler at Arlington. She's calling the horses to post. You want to do that one more time for me? You want to hit me one more time with that?
I want to hear that.
That's kind of fun.
That's so fun to hear. You get excited when you hear it.
Can you do a little Chuck Mangione while you got that thing up there?
That's Rocky.
Yeah, a little Rocky. That's really great.
That was awesome.
That's really fun.
I just ran up all the stairs.
I know.
So and now I'm going to win.
Get the fighting spirit out of Judy, which is really hard to get out.
We're going to find out who's going to win. All right, so Mike and Judy, they do have a commanding lead here, a news or ruse.
They do.
And then you got Jeff playing with Violetta. They have got to get this right to stay in it. This is a big deal, Jeff. Do not screw this up. Do not let Judy win this thing.
I got you. Let's go.
All right. See, Orion Samuelson around. Here is your headline.
Worrying trend of middle-class women eating MDMA wrapped in brie.
Oh, I literally knew three words that he just said.
Worrying trend of middle-class women eating MDMA wrapped in brie. You know the MDMA?
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Jeff, what do you think?
I think it's a ruse.
All right, we're going ruse.
She doesn't have to lift a finger.
Where's my bugler?
Yeah,
come on.
Bugle better get a little rocky again.
Don't encourage. Yeah.
Play the song
when
the horse crosses the finish line there.
The what?
You know,
they don't play a song when the horse crosses
when
the finish
they get
line.
The music.
When they start.
Oh. Just give me some Rocky so I can keep her quiet.
I'll take flowers.
There you go. No. This is what you get. You just get Rocky.
Yeah.
All right, Monica. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks,
appreciate
Monica.
It. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Hope it was fun. And go out and see Monica and go see the horses and go see everything in Arlington this weekend. It's a great, important weekend in horse racing in America, and it's a great time to be out there. So,
it is.
Enjoy yourself. And right now, I got Judy Pilak standing by with WGN News coming to rain, too. Kids, Rokon Show with Anna DeBlantis right here, 720 WGN. We've got a top five coming your way. Let me take a look here. Let me look ahead.
See if it's living up to the expectations.
I look at this show in two halves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at 5 o'clock we start the second half of the show,
mm-hmm.
and I have no idea what's coming on in the second half because I'm so thoroughly prepared for the first half. The second half, I'm like, I don't know what's going to go.
Oh, we truly don't know what's going to be in the top five at five.
Right.
For the most
true.
Part, unless there's something just very obvious.
And as it turns out, as I look at the rundown here, it is TBD.
Love a good TBD
segment.
We
got two TBDs in a row coming up here.
Very cool.
Because you never know on a TBD, that's a to be determined, theoretically.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the most fun. Most
you
of the time,
I
it accounts for totally bad dialogue. As far as I'm concerned, it just goes. We don't know where it's going to go. Got two TBDs coming up.
I always enjoy it, whether it's great or a train wreck.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, it's worth listening.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're paid to listen to this.
Yeah,
I'm worried about the people who aren't paid to listen to this.
If they're okay with the train wreck days.
Yeah. All right. Let's. You know what it is time for though. Mm-hmm. This is everybody who wants this.
It's the top five on the Rokon Show. Let's go.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokon Show with Anna DeBlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Hey. All right. I'm getting on with it. Checking up with, in with.
Number five.
See what I have to pull up? Put up with here.
Mm-hmm.
This is not working, people.
It's all going great.
Places,
people. Quiet on the set.
Should we start it again?
Speed.
Number five.
There we go. Thank you. The president, you know, he's on his working vacation in Bedminster, New Jersey.
That's right.
He's at the farm. There's a big horse farm out there, as a matter of fact. And then beautiful golf courses. And he's got that big thing that looks like a castle. You know, he's like a French king. You know, that's sort of what he is. All he needs is a powdered wig. If he could just powder the orange white, it would be the same thing. Because it's kind of a wig that he's got there. I know it's his, but it's wiggy.
Right. And while he's away, they're upgrading the West Wing bathrooms of the White House. Because he's in New Jersey, so they got the bathrooms.
We need gold.
everywhere. You have to, I'd like to see them when they're done.
Oh, God. I can just imagine what he's doing. You know, it really help. One of those handles you hold on to when you're getting up and down.
Are you saying Obama didn't need one of those?
Gold-plated everything. You're right, Violetta.
Yes, it's going to be right.
Some lions outside.
The entrance to the toilet.
Right. Actually, that's how you know the men's and the women's, because the lions, you have the lions and then the lionesses for the ladies' room. Yeah. Okay.
And I need a longer extension cord for my phone to plug in.
All right. Anyway, here's the point.
Okay.
We're told he's been watching a lot of television. So that means he might be watching the Fox, and he might be watching the Hannity, he might be watching the Fox and Friends, which is very interesting. Because this group called the Swamp Accountability Project has put together a commercial that they say they don't care if anybody else sees it. They just want the president to see it.
Mr. President, I voted for you in 2016 because I wanted to make America great again. After 8 years of President Obama's weak leadership, I was ready for a tough leader. Now, I hear you're thinking of firing Bob Mueller or the Deputy Attorney General. It makes you look weak, petty, and impotent to us Trump supporters. We don't want someone that's weak, petty, or impotent. That's why we voted for you, instead of those other guys. Don't fire Mueller or the Deputy AG. Just focus on making America great again.
Okay.
Wow, they know his trigger words.
Yep.
Yeah, but there's not a chance in hell that is the Swamp Accountability Project. Yeah, that guy's a Trump voter.
Yeah, I would call that out, too. In fact, their journalists are trying to track down who's behind it, and it's a little difficult to even trace, so you wonder.
Yeah, because you find that these things are, sometimes it's John Oliver, right?
That, or even, you know, a Democratic funded group or something like that. I mean, midterms are coming up. There's a lot at stake. This stuff happens.
Could be the Russians.
It could be the Russians. That's absolutely plausible.
I'll tell you what. Listen, we got a very fun joke now. Two joke. One, we get him to do a commercial. Cowboy looking guy, do a commercial, and tell him not to fire Bob Mueller. Make Trump go crazy. And then when he fired Bob Mueller, then we release all document that shows that we were behind the whole thing.
Right. We call him weak. Yes, I love that.
Maybe North Korea. I mean, who knows who these people are. See, that's the thing. This is what's happened now. There's no accountability for this. There's endless supply of money in politics after the decision that changed everything. Citizens United.
That's right.
Anybody can come up, any billionaire, and there's plenty of billionaires now that want to say or do anything and create as much, like this Tom Steyer goof.
Funding his own commercials. You see him in heavy rotation.
Right.
Cable news especially.
He's not helping here about the whole impeachment thing. He's not winning hearts and minds there. But anyway. All right, well, we'll see. We'll see who these guys are. Nobody seems to know.
I'll find out.
Number four.
How's my toilet?
Is it gold yet?
Nice toilet.
Rudy Giuliani, speaking of Donald Trump, he's the lawyer, said that the president's legal team has responded to the special counsel, Robert Mueller, with a counteroffer.
Oh, gee.
Counteroffers will answer one question, and the answer to that is no, and it'll only be in writing. Giuliani, he said that they've countered new terms of a possible presidential interview. He made his remarks on fellow Trump attorney Jay Sekulow's radio show. Who knew he had a radio show?
I didn't, till today.
It's about time that it ends. I also think, and I hope the special counsel is as sensitive to it as we are, we do not want to run into the November elections. So you back up from that. This should be over with by September 1st. We have now given him an answer. He obviously should take a few days to consider it. But we should get this resolved. If there's going to be an interview, let's have it. If there's not going to be an interview, then let him write his report. He's got all the information that he needs. The interview will provide nothing in addition to what he already has.
Uh-huh. Right.
I don't know that Bob Mueller is listening to him.
You know what this,
his day by it.
You know what this, you know what I heard there from Rudy Giuliani? Which is, he has everything he needs, which is that they know that Donald Trump knew about the meeting and that that his son, had Don Jr., had called him from the meeting on that phone. And they don't want the president to have to go in and answer the question, did your son tell you about this meeting before or immediately after the meeting? And when the president goes no, then the president commits perjury. If the president says yes, he throws his kid under the bus.
Yeah,
so so it puts him in a position where they don't want to answer that question.
Mm-hmm. But Giuliani's point about September 1st, he can't tell Bob Mueller that September 1st is the deadline. Bob Mueller picked the deadline himself. That's clear. But as you get closer and closer to the midterms, you do feel as if, you know, it runs the risk of if you suddenly come out with some new indictments that it does impact the election. So you wonder if in the next few days we'll hear something from his office, the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Or if he'll wait.
Yeah. All right, we'll get to your 3, your 2, and your 1. But first, Judy, what's going on at the bottom of the hour in the WGN newsroom?
Well, I'll tell you. A lawsuit alleging bathroom peeping at the Cook County Jail.
Peeping or peeing?
Take your pick.
By the way, I got a new gold toilet. Triple gold. Gold lame. 14 carat, 24 carat.
Got to have somewhere to sit when you're tweeting.
Do you think he gets the high boy seat too, right? He gets like what do they call that, the senior seat or whatever, so you don't really have to bend your knees too much.
The potty squatty.
Yeah, you just kind of fall back onto it and then you fall forward away from it.
And you think the seat is cushy? Like a cushiony one?
But when those
rip, he's probably on it a long time.
He did, yeah.
Judging by his tweets.
I think that's why he was late for the Queen. Oh, I was early. But it was, but he was, I mean, that was the Queen standing there for 15 minutes. I mean, you know, something happened there. And he probably, went to the, Melania, hold on, I got to go. Oh, Donald.
You know what that means.
You'll make me disgust. All right, here is Violetta with the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.
Be sure to check out the CB app, hit up Facebook, tell Chicago's Best TV where you like to eat. Watch Chicago's Best Sundays at 10 p.m. on WGN TV. Your pick might be Chicago's Best.
That's a Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. We had a top 5-5 that is continuing here. We've worked our way only up to
number 3.
The Amy Fisher scandal is getting the snapped treatment. And victim Mary Jo Buttafuoco is getting in on the action in a preview of the Oxygen series 24th season premiere. Mary Jo shares her side of the story that made her then husband, Joey, and Amy Fisher household names.
I was the biggest news in town that day. This was my journey. And during the course of it, I did a lot of things wrong. I made a lot of mistakes. I tried to do the best I can. Nobody told me, okay, Mayor, this is what happens when somebody comes to your house and shoots you in the head. Everything that was before was then over.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, I think the kids are too young to remember this.
Yeah, that was captivated the country.
Right. It's over 20 years ago now. So the guy, Joey Buttafuoco, he's got an auto repair joint.
And he's got a 17-year-old mistress, it turns out.
He's got a girl who came by, always had dental dents in her.
Yeah, she had a lot.
She had a dental dam, too, but that was for something else. Anyway, the point is that she was always showing up, and then they carried on, these two. And he was always going, I don't really like my wife so much, but, you know, one day, baby, I'll marry you. And then next thing you know, little Amy Fisher decided she's going to go shoot Mary Jo Buttafuoco in the head at her house.
Classic mistress situation.
Yep.
And she did, and they didn't think that she'd recover enough, but after multiple surgeries, police were able to identify her, to be able to talk to her, who identified Amy Fisher.
Right.
So did she go to jail?
She did. She did indeed.
She's out now?
Yeah.
I think it's
Amy Fisher, yeah.
And she's mad because Mary Jo made more money off of the thing than she did.
The Long Island Lolita. as she was known.
Wikipedia has her listed occupation as a pornographic actress.
Yes, she did. She went on to appear in such films as I Put a Hole in Your Wife's Head.
Oh, God.
And, God, it was just really something.
I'll have to do some research tonight.
Yeah, Bada bang.
Preparing for work, you know, just kind of.
Bada bang. I don't know how Oscar season would have been the same. All right, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was what it was. All right, here we go.
Number two.
During his monologue last night, Jimmy Kimmel joked about the fact that the West Hollywood City Council has voted to recommend the President Trump star be removed. And, well, and they're talking about replacing it with, like, Rosie O'Donnell's, right? Isn't that what they're going to do?
There's no reason for the West Hollywood City Council to be voting on this. It's like if your next-door neighbors voted for you to paint your house. You're not... Your house. They didn't install his star. They didn't pay for his star. And when the star gets damaged, it doesn't cost them anything. This is none of their business. Look, we get it. You don't like Trump, but why are you voting on this? This is our sidewalk. This is our filthy, disease-ridden, urine-drenched sidewalk.
I know. These walks, the Hollywood Walk of Fame is a Hollywood walk of guys who paid $6,000 for a plaque,
mm-hmm.
is what it is.
Self-funded, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you have to have elevated yourself to some level of stardom. It's not like anybody could do it, but there is
pretty close to anybody. Pretty close, but there are now Instagram celebrities on there. There are radio guys on there for reasons that make no sense whatsoever.
It'd be the first star ever taken back. And if the Hollywood City Council is saying it's because of his treatment of women, they're saying, well, why is Cosby's star out there and why is so many others still there?
Mm-hmm. All right. This is very interesting. Listen to this.
Number one.
Cows helped Sanford, Florida police corral a suspect who was on the move, it writes here.
Ruse.
After crashing a stolen car. This
happens.
This is real. Now, here's the police report. An officer spotted a stolen vehicle and tried to pull it over, but the driver wouldn't stop. So police said the car crashed, and when the suspect, identified as Jennifer Kaufman and Jamie Young, two suspects, ran through a cow pasture in different directions, hilarity ensued.
Turning right onto Sipes, southbound Sipes Avenue. Oh, signal 4. Signal 4, Sipes and Celery. Bailout. Okay, driver's bailing. Still got a passenger in the east of you. Actually, the large group of cows is following her for a good visual. Looks like they may attack her.
Oh, it's too alert. I'm giving my flashlight. You can tell me where to go from here.
Keep going southeast. She's pretty far into the field now. If you see the large group of cows, they're literally following her and chasing her.
Yeah, I'm raising her sights.
All right, alert. We got her lit up.
Why were they going to eat her? Why would they be chasing her?
Well, they like cornered
eat more
her.
Chicken. Eat more chicken.
They cornered her in front of a fence. I don't know. That was crazy.
Right.
And you can see the red camera like following them around.
It's right. So you got the helicopter shot, infrared helicopter shot. We're moving around, and the cows are all like, "All right, go get her, go get her!" Like when you drive by cows, what we've learned here, because this was at night, what we have learned here is that cows act very differently during the day
than
they do at night. Like during the day, everybody's looking at them. They're lying around in a field. They're acting all, you know, they can drive.
They're like, right. They don't care.
You drive by them and you feel sorry for them. You think, oh man, I really want steak tonight. I won't eat it now because I've seen the cows. And they're there and they're so pretty and they're kind of just kind of moving around and taking care of their young. And then at night, they're killers. At night, the girl runs through the pasture. Now she's ours. Oh man,
I love that one of the streets is called Celery.
Oh really?
I know, I thought it was a celery patch like in a garden,
unless her name was Celery.
Can we I want to play that again because it really it's priceless. Well, I know it's long, but
of course it's in Florida too.
Yeah,
turning right onto Sipes, southbound Sipes Avenue. Oh, signal four, Sipes and Celery. Bailout. Okay, driver's bailing, still got a passenger in the east of you. actually, the large group of cows is following her for a good visual. Looks like they may attack her.
Oh, God.
Don't kill her. I'm using my flashlight. You can tell me where to go from here.
Keep going southeast. She's pretty far into the field now. If you see the large group of cows, they're literally following her and chasing her.
Come down, risen or shining. All
right, alert. We got her lit up.
If you see the video, one of the cows looks like it's trying to catch her. He's like right behind her.
Talk about not even caring. It looks like they might attack her.
Yeah. Well, they herded her right into the cops.
Were those police cows?
I've never seen anything like this.
All of a sudden, you're like, oh, look at how docile and beautiful they are. And then at night, they're like, I'm going to kill you now.
I bet she's a meat eater.
Do not mess with cows. I think people who are around dairy, farms and stuff, they know that cows can be. Don't mess with bulls for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But even cows, they don't. They can run you down. All right, where's Orion Samuelson when you need him? All right, let's check in here. We've got Judy Filax news coming your way in 2 minutes. Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here in 720 WGN.
30 years ago today, lights made their debut at the Friendly Confines. How about that?
I did tell the story today on the Steve Cochran Show starring Justin Kaufman.
Mm-hmm.
This 30, I'll never forget this moment.
Because you were at the game, weren't you?
No. Oh, no. No. Today is my mother's birthday.
Oh, so, yeah. That's more important.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Mrs. Khan.
Mm-hmm.
So you're with your mom.
Yeah. So here's what happened. So what happened was that just a few weeks before my mom's 30th birthday, my beautiful daughter was born. Just a few weeks before that, I got married.
Mm-hmm.
Before she was born.
Hold on, I'm writing down this timeline. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's making sense.
And we were both young, the right thing to do when we found out that the stork was delivering a baby that we had nothing to do with. We had no idea how that had actually happened.
It was a simpler time.
Yes, we had both decided to get married, and. And initially move in with her parents, at least for the first couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure they loved you.
Bring
right
the
away.
Baby.
Can you take care of this?
and so my mom dutifully kind of a little
perplexed.
Yeah, I think
ticked.
Yeah.
Ticked.
Yeah, ticked. Kind of, wait. It was all rather surprising and fast, sort of lightning fast. Mm-hmm. The whole thing happened.
I bet it was.
Yeah, and so we were out to dinner that night. It was me and my young self and my young wife and our little couple week old baby.
Italian, Mexican steakhouse? Where you work?
No, actually, it's funny. We were right here. We're right across the street from where we are right now. The Fairmont Hotel. We were having dinner there. It just opened up. And my mom was like, well, we have to go there. And so, okay. So we went there. And what was interesting was that was 8-8-88. It was the opening, the first night game at Wrigley.
Mm-hmm.
And
easy to remember.
I could not possibly have been more excited about that. I know that I had a young baby and all that, but I was scared. I didn't know what I was doing. But the one thing that was going to get me through this was that there was going to be night baseball at Wrigley.
So you were on board from the start. You knew this was a big deal.
Well, I knew. Yeah. Yes, I did. And so we went to dinner, and I wanted to see what it looked like. Right? So mm-hmm. I kept getting up, coming up with an excuse to get up and go to the bar at this dinner. Leaving my my wife and my young baby and my mother to glare at each other. I don't know what the baby was doing at the time, but those two were glaring at each other.
Are they getting to know each other, or do they already know each other very well?
Well, they met each other. They didn't, nobody knew anybody very well That's in this true. Circumstance. Okay. Follow Makes along sense. Here. This is new. This is all
very
relative.
New.
You just pick up on my body language here. that just imagine
they had never met before.
No, they met, okay. but they met at the wedding, which had been just a few weeks prior to that.
Okay.
So it was really something. So it was,
you seemed really mature. You know. Sneaking away to go watch baseball.
I was thinking, but I still wanted to see this. This was important. It was news. I was already working in news at this point. I was out of college. I was just out of college. It was,
it's business. I got to go.
Yeah, I got to go. Excuse me. I was working in the newsroom. I got to go take a look.
Got to use it all the time.
Yeah.
I got to watch the game.
Yeah.
It's work.
I didn't tell them where I was going because I was afraid of both of them. I was afraid of all three of them at that point. Right? You got nothing. There's no winning in a situation like this.
A lot of screaming women.
Yes. Oh, God.
Something's never changed.
Yes, exactly. Exactly right. So I got up. And then the skies opened up.
Mm-hmm.
And it was lightning and thunder, and they had to stop, and they had to call the game. Right? And then they had to really do it the next night where I could be home, in my house with my TV, with my baby.
Divine intervention
right?
for you.
And not having all these people trying to kill me at the table. See what's going on there?
I do.
Yeah. I was so happy when that game got rained out. I was just like, oh, my God, this is the best thing ever. So I went back to the dinner table and I was like, oh, anything happened? And it was just frosty glaring what was going on there amongst all the people.
I can almost feel it.
Oh,
I'm getting nervous.
Yeah, it was.
So it all worked out.
Yeah, it was a nerve-wracking 20
everybody.
Years. It worked out fine. It worked out. It did. I mean, it did. It did mm-hmm. end up working out for everybody. It was very, very lovely. But it was stupid.
But in the moment.
But in that moment.
An end in sight.
Right. Well, I mean, everything was like fresh and new.
Everything.
Yeah.
Normally that is good, but in some situations it's takes a little getting
awkward.
Used to. Yeah.
Well, when you kind of find out that you're with child mm-hmm. and then you get married and have a baby all in 6 weeks, that's a little daunting. I just want you to imagine like being in a thing where here you are today, 6 weeks from now,
yeah.
you're sitting with your mother that you're having to explain this to, hey, this is what the, and then there's a little baby, the crying baby there,
You got me worried.
Yeah.
Your life could change in 6 weeks.
Yeah, it's a phone call. Hey.
Yeah. It was sort of like that.
What are you doing in 6 weeks? You want a child?
It can happen. But it was a very happy. It was a very happy.
All's well that ends well.
Yeah,
well,
I mean, everybody.
Children are a blessing.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. At the time, it doesn't seem
doesn't
like it.
Doesn't feel
but
like it,
it
at
no.
first. It's scary.
Yeah, but
at times.
But they really are.
Well, and if we know you, you probably didn't. Tell or fess up right away. It's like a couple. Couple weeks go
fess
by.
Fess up
couple,
to whom?
Couple, do
I don't think I had
direction.
To fess up to anybody. I think it was pretty obvious. It was.
Well, your stomach wasn't growing.
It was self evident. Oh, well. I mean, who was I to get? I mean, it's like. Yeah, I don't understand. Anyway, the point is that there was that.
Yeah,
yeah.
That very happened. Memorable day.
It was a
the Rokon household and the rest of Chicago.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it was one of those moments where you guys. I had to get up from the table it was not only just to see the game, but it was also to get away from the table. I mean, who wants to sit there when everybody is mad at everybody else?
Oh.
And it was awkward like that for about 3 years. And then everything started to get things started to work out and it was okay.
The baby started talking.
Yeah.
Breaking some of the silence.
Yes, exactly. And because little babies like that, they're a couple of weeks old, they're really quiet. Even when they're crying, they're quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, and you hope that they're making everything really nice and easygoing and but that was not the case. So I was like, hey, the first night game at Wrigley is on over here. I got news.
You want to feel old for a second. Rizzo was born 8/8/89.
Wow.
Born.
Wow. Wow.
I feel it too.
I mean, I'm like, I could be his dad. Like, you know, he would actually have been my second child a year later.
He would have been.
Yeah. Oh, my God. All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So let's cut that.
All right. Let's find out now from Judy what's coming up at the top of the hour news.
Spread the word. The butter cow is back at the Illinois State Fair.
Is it trying to kill anybody?
It is not.
Is it going to chase perpetrators?
Don't push your luck.
We just learned earlier the cows will corner bad guys. This would be a great thing to make police cows running up and down Michigan Avenue.
I think Anna was onto something. They must know the meat eaters.
They do.
Dairy eaters are okay, but not those meat eaters.
Love a good cow chase.
All right, Violetta, you've got the WGN traffic brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation. Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. Did you see that the... the American Pickers TV show?
Mm-hmm.
I just don't understand these shows. There's a lot of shows on the TV I just don't get.
Me either.
Like The Bachelorette and American Pickers.
Pickers makes more sense to me than like The Kardashians. Because The Pickers, there's some historical sense to it. It's not like a bunch of sisters yelling at each other about nothing.
Are we back on this topic?
Like, at least really? You learn a little bit
from
American Pickers.
Those are fighting words with Violetta on this show.
All right, my bad. All right, forget this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, disregard what I said.
Nearly broke up the show over this discussion, as I recall.
We all had a meeting with HR. Violetta's in tears.
If you bring up the Kardashians one more time.
Did you hear about that study where even if you watch 60 seconds of the Kardashians, you become a worse person?
You become an idiot.
Oh, gosh. Here we go.
Yeah, you guys sound really nice, and you don't even watch the show.
I know.
Oh,
can you imagine what we'd be like if we did?
Anyway, American Pickers.
Okay. Anyway. Change the subject.
Found Aerosmith's van from 1970. It's a 1964 International Harvester Metro van, and it was their tour bus. And they found it literally in a forest.
What?
Like abandoned, torn up, half in the mud. But it's the actual tour bus. It's got the Aerosmith logo on the side of it from 1970.
So how do they know?
Did someone own it?
Well, they owned it, and then they got rid of it.
But I mean, usually the pickers, they buy the stuff from someone.
Can we explain the program for those of us who don't understand it? What's the pickers?
It's these two guys that drive around the country, and they basically are like antique shopping, essentially. They'll go into like, some guy will have like a storage of all this just old stuff, just random stuff, and they'll look at it, evaluate it, and they'll buy it from these people. Just
but a lot of farms.
A lot of the back roads and countries.
And don't you think, Kevin, they kind of are like, I don't feel like they rip people off, but they, like, if they found that van, they'd be like, yeah, I'll give you $50 for it.
Because right? Most of the people they run into, like, stumbled across, like, oh, my grandpa passed, and he's got all entire shed full of stuff, so they don't even care.
It's like Antiques Roadshow.
Mm-hmm.
If we're on Fox News Channel, is what it's like. It's like instead of it being, would it surprise you to learn that this piece of china is actually from the Ming Dynasty and worth $65,000? And then bing, and then the people go, oh, really? It's worth $65,000. This is more like, you know what, my cousin Cooter, he got a van out the back. It kind of happened in the swamp, and it had Aerosmith on the side of it, and with a big guy with stinky feet on it. So we was wondering if maybe you just wanted to haul it away. And that's kind of what it is. And
then these guys,
that's the gist of it. And then they go back there, mm-hmm. and they found this van that literally is from 1970. And it's got a guy with big stinky feet on it. It says Aerosmith on the side of it. And they were able to confirm with a band member of Aerosmith that this was, in fact, their van.
How about that? A guy who played with the band from 1970 to 1972 is the one who authenticated it.
Radio DJ. Creepy. That's creepy radio guy.
That's exactly when I was in the band, too.
Had a cup of coffee with Aerosmith.
Had a cup of coffee with Aerosmith. Sure did, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's another cup of coffee there. Paid him $25,000
Wow.
For it. Piece of rock and roll history.
About that.
Well, I think that's
happy
that
about
seems,
the pickers.
Yeah. See, that's the kind of thing.
And they always find something really valuable that they stumble upon in the backwoods of anywhere?
Cooter, would it surprise you to learn that this van is actually worth $25,000?
You can retire now, Cooter. We're going to live on a beach now.
Oh, $25,000, I can get me an island.
You're like a millionaire now, Cooter.
Cooter has to get out and price things out again. A little more than that.
That's worth more than my house and my car combined. All right, so I'm, I find the whole thing sort of interesting.
I mean, what's the backstory? How did the van end up there?
That's a good question. That I'm not sure. Maybe on the show they will explain that. But
Aerosmith blacked out, got lost, left her van.
Well, it does look. It looks like it slid off the road. Is what it looks like, and it hit a tree.
Forget it, guys. Don't call the cops. Let's go.
Right. Well, they don't. Because you imagine what was going on in the Aerosmith van. And they were just like, run away from it.
Just go. Never here.
Never look back.
And somehow, some way, for the last close to 50 years, that thing's been missing. I mean, that's what it looks like.
We'll never talk about the van again.
Well, the band member who was there from 1970 to 1972 says that back in the day, this is what they used in the very beginning. I don't know that this van was ever in good shape. He said they'd play a gig from Boston, in Boston, go to New Hampshire for like $125. Then after gas, tolls, and paid for food.
And cocaine.
And cocaine. They did not say, but you're right. We'd all make about $3 a piece. So it was like the early days, but the logo for this Aerosmith is like, you're right, this creepy guy with big feet and like a striped, almost prison-looking shirt. And he's just walking. Is it VW? I can't tell. Is it?
No, it's American Harvester.
Oh, okay.
Which is the, that would be the McCormick's, actually, speaking there.
Look at this thing. It looks like it gets 2 miles of the gallon. It's like a giant truck of steel.
American Pickers.
I didn't remember we were back in the van writing a song. And the problem was, I was actually dating Steven Tyler's sister at the time. And, I went to sleep on top of her and just was dreaming on top of her. And then he said, oh, that's a good name for a song, Dream On, Top of Her. And then we decided that maybe we'd shorten it because Dream On, Top of Her was too long to say while you're walking up to the post of the song. So this is Dream On from Aerosmith on WGN.
Every time
79 at O'Hare.
All these lines, my face getting clearer.
So you just imagine that, you know, they're in the back of this van writing that song. Because that song came out a couple years after this.
If this
thing went away.
The van could talk.
Yes, if this van's a rockin'. That is the official first, if this van's a rockin', don't come a knockin'.
It looks like it, by the looks
of it.
Oh, my God.
I would just... How many babies were made in the back of this van? It looks like it's nothing but babies and track marks. That's the only thing that I see here.
Track marks. Jeez.
Oh, geez.
There's like underwear hanging off the side of this thing. You see the picture of it? There's like Cooter's clothes are like stuck in, and I don't know if this is Steven Tyler's clothes or this is Cooter who owned it. I don't know who it is.
I think he might have lived out of it for a little bit, Cooter, cousin Cooter.
Yeah, well, dude, he's got good, you know, good plumbing because there's a hole in the floor.
Yeah. Bring all the girls over there. Say you're part of Aerosmith.
Right. I mean, anyway, congratulations to American Pickers for...
Congrats to Cooter for becoming a millionaire with that $25,000 paycheck. Cooter's living large.
For the next 2 weeks when he burns through that.
You know how much crystal meth is now? Do you?
I don't. No.
All right.
Wow, this all took a turn.
It took a very odd turn.
We've touched on every drug that's out there over the past 5 minutes.
I mean, well, let's face it.
Oh,
Aerosmith. I mean, that one of the seminal moments of my understanding of show business was an interview with Johnny Carson that Aerosmith did, in which Aerosmith explained. It was Steven Tyler and Joe Perry explaining. Sitting in the main, you know, the one and two chair there, and the rest of the band, you know, basically asleep on the couch because they were so stoned.
Or in the van.
They explained that they were out of money. They had been on tour, and this was right after the gigantic hit of Dream On, and mm-hmm. that sort of like mid 1970s thing. And they were a gigantic touring band even then, right? And mm-hmm. they literally the problem is that they were given credit cards before credit cards were, you know, everybody had them. And they said the touring company, which is the record company, gave them the credit cards and said, you know, just go ahead, put your expenses on these, and then we'll have our accountants figure it out. Mm-hmm. What they didn't realize was that money was coming off of their pay.
So they just spent it.
So you'd go to the hotel and you'd rent the hotel and you'd destroy everything in the suite, which was the hot thing to do back then. You throw the couch out the window along with the TV and everything else. They didn't realize they were getting charged for all of that.
Oh, man.
And then they want to stay in the nicest hotels. And they were getting charged for that.
Imagine what they could have done with Bitcoin.
They wanted to fly in a plane, right? They had their plane. They got charged for the plane. They thought that every night when they were making their money in the uh-huh. In concert, that was their money.
Maybe that's why they left the van.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're just getting a new one.
Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Get a better one.
Then they realized that they actually lost money on the tour that had grossed $10 million.
Oh, my gosh.
And they were like,
Is that true? Millions,
whatever the number was. Oh, millions. Sure. Yes. I mean, now those tours make $100-125 million. Mm-hmm. But back then it was probably $10 million. Because, back then, if you were paying $20 for a concert ticket, that was a lot.
Yeah.
So you're saying you have to pay your credit card bills.
What I'm saying is they didn't realize that was not free. Oh. Right. That when
All
you swipe it, it's not free.
Lesson.
Right.
Yeah. Once in a while.
Somebody owes the money at the end. And it turns out they owed it. They thought the record company was paying for it. And they were going to get paid the money from the tour. No, that's not how that went.
That's a tough lesson to learn. Here you are thinking you're a millionaire and you got nothing.
Right. Dude, I knew it.
Johnny Depp does know it.
All right. Let's check in now with Judy. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
A cougar spotted in the Chicago area. No, not that kind.
Dragon Triangle? No?
Not that kind.
There's plenty of them there.
I was
ahead of me there.
It.
Yeah. Tavern on Rush. You never see more cougars than more cougars in the Lincoln Park Zoo. Hello. See what I did there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
Woo, you should take that on the road.
Yeah.
In a van with a cougar.
You stole my joke. All right. Go ahead, Violetta.
Don't miss Chicago Tribune's first ever night market. Enjoy food, fun, and entertainment August 24th through August 26th. Learn more. Visit ctfoodbowl.com/night market.
Okay, we found audio from this American Pickers, and it's exactly what we thought it was.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, they found the Aerosmith van from 1970 in somebody's backyard.
Uh-huh.
And it's worth $25,000. And it's just as we would imagine the kind of backyard for it to be. Let's take a little lesson.
Have you learned anything about the van since you
owned it?
I heard through someone who heard that the original owner of the van, Mark Lehman, was here on the property and that he had a connection with the band itself.
Do you know his contact information?
No, I don't know.
Okay. What I know about Aerosmith is they did come from around this area.
Woo!
It's held pretty good.
I guess you could try to get some DNA off the mattress in here. There's like two mattresses in here.
Look at this
thing, man.
I was getting a lot of sleep back there. A nice warm mattress.
Any dates back there, Cooter?
Ladies seemed to like it. Liked it real good.
Oh, boy.
Did you get anyone to come back?
Nope.
Just the same guy who does the roadkill barbecue.
Hey,
but that impresses
say.
The ladies.
Yeah. Yeah. That's sort of the New Hampshire version of Cooter, is what we just heard right there. Do you have any idea how to get a hold of him? No.
No. No. So who's asking? In Chicago, you say, who's asking?
The guy's like, no, I don't know. What was that? The guy got so worried. I don't know.
No, you know, I don't want to call him. No.
Oh, no. Jeez. No, don't make me call him. Like he was so open, and all of a sudden, I don't know.
Oh no, he scares me. Don't make him come back here. He was living in the back of the van, and he never had pants on.
Oh gosh.
No, Viola.
No, oh, I don't know. He got really sad.
Don't bring him back here.
Yeah, it's like making him a murderer back there.
Yeah,
I don't know. No, I don't know. I'm so stupid.
Nothing bad happened back there, right?
just the Aerosmith van. I don't know. There might be DNA on the mattress. I don't know. All right, Judy's got news coming away in 2 minutes.